Hello, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. We are continuing with our walk through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are rapidly coming towards the conclusion. The teacher is leading us in the exploration of wisdom, but especially some of the limitations that come with wisdom. Wisdom seeks to know all things. It wants to seek to know things so that it can kind of control things, but the future is inherently unknowable. In today's passage, we're going to look at one particular form of uncertainty that comes from political uncertainty, which I think many of us probably feel. And also it deals with the disruptive effects of living under foolish authority. So we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 5 through 7 and 12 through 20, where we read the following. There is another evil I have seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. I have even seen servants riding horseback like princes and princes walking like servants. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what is going to happen. No one can predict the future. Fools are so exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. What a sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader and whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. Laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky house. A party gives laughter. Wine gives happiness, and money gives everything. Never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. And don't make fun of the powerful, even in your own bedroom. For a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's interesting that this whole section begins with a critique of high authorities like kings and then ends with this warning against criticizing kings, even in the privacy of your own bedroom or even in your own thoughts. So this passage continues this thought from the previous passage where a little bit of foolishness can undermine even great wisdom. Wisdom, as we said yesterday, wisdom is valuable, but wisdom is vulnerable. This little bit of foolishness is especially destructive when it comes from a king or someone with great power and authority. One way this happens is when people in authority hand out high positions to unqualified people. Verse 5, there's another evil I've seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. You can imagine this happening when there is nepotism or political cronyism. Even today, positions get handed out based on political favors or in response to large donations. This kind of foolishness brings danger to many of us. Verse 13, fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. Well, that's one way that foolishness, even a little bit, can undo wisdom, certainly even much more in the hands of people with authority and power. Another way that foolishness leads to problems is through laziness and gluttony that undermines wisdom. In verse 15, it says, fools are exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. Then in verse 16, what sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. The word for servant here is interesting because we talk about servant leadership in Christian circles, but the word for servant here is usually translated as boy or child, but it can also mean servant. And the idea here is that it's someone who's inexperienced, someone who cannot even control their own desires. Feasting in the morning would be gluttony. It could be even a continuation of partying from the night before. Instead, a wise leader feasts in the evening, as it says at the end of verse 17. They feast in the evening in order to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. And then finally, this warning at the end. Again, we started with criticism of the ruler, but then we're warned in verse 20, never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. Don't make fun of the powerful, even in your own bedroom, for a little bird might deliver a message and tell them what you said. This warning echoes kind of what Lili and I discussed back in chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, where it said, those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right, for there's a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. We today obviously live under a very different form of government than they did, and I think very thankfully, but there's still wisdom in this warning. It's easy for us to complain and perhaps then through our complaints disqualify ourselves from influencing others or reduce our influence. And even if we don't have kings, we still have bosses and other people in authority, and we see biblical examples of people who prospered or did the right things, found as this verse in the earlier chapter in verse 8, in chapter 8 said, find the right time to do the right things. We see examples like David under King Saul. We see Nathan under King David. You find this way that people found ways to do the right thing. You had Joseph under Pharaoh. You had Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar. You had Esther under her husband Ahasuerus, the Persian king, and many, many others, many examples of people who had the wisdom to do the right thing at the right time, even under often ungodly, not just foolish, but ungodly authorities. I think sometimes it's simply a matter of pride that we want to fight those in authority rather than proceeding out of a genuine desire to do good for people who are disadvantaged. And that pride is something that I think always leads to foolishness. And in the meantime, I think criticizing leaders, foolish leaders, is probably a poor substitute for finding a way to do good at the right time. And I feel like we live in a world now where we've gotten so used to criticizing rather than working for good that every political issue seems to devolve into fights, and we make enemies of those who could be our friends or at least our associates. I think this is a warning, though we live in a very different time. I think that these wise warnings are ones that could really help guide us to a better future than the one we're experiencing right now. Dave, I'm wondering what you see here and the advice, maybe even additional advice about working under foolish authorities.
It's hard, given that today is the day we're anticipating tonight, as we're first posting this, the first debate between the presidential candidates of this election cycle, the two leading party candidates. It's impossible not to read this in light of that debate in particular, and of just the whole election season that's ahead of us. Because it's so much on our mind these days, it's all over our headlines, it's hard to avoid. And as we're thinking about that, I look at verse 16. Well, first of all, I guess starting where you started, verse 5, kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. The reason this matters is verse 16. What sorrow for the land ruled by, you said, servant, but you, as you pointed out, it really should be child, right? What sorrow for the land ruled by a child? The land whose leaders feast in the morning, right? They're self-indulgent, they're irresponsible. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader, whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. And I just think that this, it's so easy for us to be cynical about government, not realizing, because we so often see it done foolishly, right? Just like he's describing in the beginning of the passage. We so often see that, and yet he's reminding us here that government actually can be this incredible gift. It can be a way that God blesses us. We were created to rule with God, right? We're supposed to rule. That was actually the first part of the commandment given to Adam and Eve. Right, that we are supposed to rule over the earth. And that, in fact, Jesus tells us that in the age to come, we will rule over entire kingdoms. Right, that actually is our natural bent. That's what we're created to do. We're made in God's image to rule like he does, rule in a way that brings life, rule in a way that brings truth and brings righteousness and justice and hope and peace. That is what we're called to do. And yet I think it's just so easy. I see so many Christians, and I know that I have stumbled into this many times, just giving into cynicism. It's like, politicians, all they do is lie. They're all a bunch of idiots. Why can't we get anybody good? We can easily give into this kind of thing and just think, well, I just don't want to be any part of it. And basically all we're saying is, hey, I'm not responsible here. But it's just part of our general sort of disdain for government. And yet the attitude that we see in the scriptures is, yeah, government can be horrible. It can make people's lives miserable. And all throughout the Bible, we see examples of that. But we also see throughout the Bible the way that good government can bring life and hope, peace and goodness. It reward virtue, limit evil. I mean, all of these kind of things. And so I actually think that we ought to probably take Paul's advice to pray for kings and all those in authority, because good government matters. And so I think as Christians, my longing isn't for the kind of the removal of all government. It's for good human government until finally the government is on his shoulders, right? The Prince of Peace that we're told about in Isaiah, until finally the government rests on God's shoulders completely again, we should be reflecting his image. And so I actually think it's a virtuous, noble, and beautiful thing for Christians to get involved in government, to get involved serving, to get involved voting, being a part of campaigns. We should long for good government because that is a way we can love our neighbors. And so I think that it's easier to be cynical. I think it's holier to get engaged. The last thing I'll point out, I think this whole thing in starting in verse 13, fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions. So their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. And if Solomon is not writing about contemporary, like, you know, cable news pundits, I really don't know what this is about, right? No one really knows what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. You know, when I'm in my middle age, and so everyone's, oh, you got to start investing for retirement. Da, da, da. Okay, I started. Well, I had to learn how to do it. And so I started, you know, paying attention to all these folks on CNBC and the, like, just all the various financial channels and articles. And then, oh, here, this, you know, recession's about to come. This stock's about to take off. And in the beginning, foolishly thought, well, these guys are the experts. Of course, you know, I should do what they say. And then I did and lost, you know, way too much and realized, why am I listening to them? They have no idea. And over time, I kept seeing again and again and again how these great, you know, kind of heroes in these fields would make these bold predictions and they'd be wrong again and again. And they'd have some justification for why they were wrong. I think, why did I listen to them in the first place? You're just going to have another justification next time. In the end, all I can do really is trust in God. So let's act faithfully. Let's not try to, you know, blindly trust any of these human authorities that don't know any more than we do.
And I find it incredibly encouraging, the tremendous number of examples of faithful people throughout the Bible, faithful people who were involved in politics, not as the leader, but under bad leaders, but were able to do a tremendous amount of good because of their faithfulness. I think of Daniel, I think of Esther, some great examples. And so I think we can take encouragement from that.
Joseph. I mean, yeah, the list could go on and on and on and on. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Dave, would you pray for us to have wisdom in this time of uncertainty?
Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, we receive your charge to rule over your creation, to cause it to flourish. God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom that we need to do your work in your world, in your way. And God, I pray tonight and for this election season and for really all time, God, I pray for our leaders. We pray that you would give us wisdom. God, we pray that you would bless us in all of these places with good leaders and where we have authority. God, I pray that you would give us the Holy Spirit wisdom so that we could be good leaders, so that we could do your work in your way. God, we want to do your work faithfully, and we're going to need your power to do it. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us today. Tomorrow is going to be a Flashback Friday. We're going to have a devotional from the past that we're going to share. And then when we gather back on Monday, we're going to deal with economic uncertainty. Today was about political uncertainty. On Monday, we'll talk about economic uncertainty. So join us then. Go in peace.